Bible says that we should never let these wonderful words of God depart from before our eyes. Always keep them before our eyes, like frontlets before our eyes. And always listen to His word. Keep His word in our hearts. Because God is always wanting to bless us. And there will be life to them that find it, and health to their flesh. You know, I like to think of the scripture where He said that we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Now, someone would say, well, that doesn't mean right now, Brother Pike. But it does mean right now. In the eyes of God, He doesn't see us as we one time was. That is, as we was, you know, in our sins and in our shortcomings, when we did not please Him, being lost, not having eternal life. But He sees us as we are in Christ Jesus, having eternal life and being pure and wholesome, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He sees us as a healthy person, and it shall be health to their flesh. He sees us as a healthy, whole, wholesome individual. And the only thing that can keep us from enjoying that wonderful health and that wonderful strength and that wonderful way of God is our unbelief. I say a lot of times, you know, it's not that we don't believe when things arise and problems come. It's not that we don't believe. But as I preached the other night, it's just that we don't have any strength in our believing. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. And what it is, we fail to add strength to our believing. I deal with faith a lot because it's necessary for Christians to have faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So then we're always reminding you of faith, because faith is the principal thing. I know charity is the root of all of this wonderful thing of God, because God is love and faith worketh by love. But as to God rewarding us, as to us having purification of heart, as to us being translated into the kingdom, as to us having salvation, as to us receiving healing, as to God supplying all of our needs according to His riches and glory, then it must be faith. We must of necessity have faith. So then we see that it must be faith. It must be faith. Chapter 16, St. Matthew's, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It says in chapter 16, in the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. You know, in the 8th verse, just before this, Jesus is saying, which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Now, you notice here, He uses the terms that when Peter confessed that He was the Christ, He uses the terms that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the question arises, what kind of rock was he speaking of? Peter, the name meaning little stone, or whatever the Catholic Church took it that he meant he would build it upon Peter. But when the Lord said upon this rock, the Bible asks the question, who is a rock but our God? And who is God but Christ? And Peter acknowledged that this was Christ. Said, who am I? He said, thou art Christ. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, but upon this rock, Christ Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He could have said, Peter, thou art Peter, but upon this rock, Christ Jesus, I will build my church. Or he could have said, upon this word, Peter, in that I am the word made flesh. Or he could have said, who is a rock but our God, and I am the word manifested in the flesh upon God, so the church is built. Or he could have said, Peter, the faith that spoke this from your heart, in that you said that you believe that I am the Christ, Peter, upon this kind of faith, faith in God, faith in Christ, upon this kind of faith, upon this faith, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this kind of believing, this kind of faith. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and because you believe like this, I'll give unto you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so then Peter went forth, and he opened the doors to the Gentile church, and he opened the doors to the Jewish church. So then Peter said, seeing that God made a difference between us choosing me to open the door, we find that upon this rock, upon this rock. And so then the faith of Christ, which revealed to Peter that it was Christ, here we find as to revelation, today God has built his church upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, because it was revealed to Peter as to the Christ, that the church is founded upon the revealing of the Christ, or the discovering of the Christ, or faith in Christ, or we say the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is why that I emphasize faith. Faith is the only thing that you've got to hold to. There is nothing else. There is no righteousness that you can offer unto God that is sufficient. Nothing will suffice God as to your righteousness. For he said, lest your righteousness excel or exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot get into the kingdom of God by your own righteousness, by your own ritualistics, by your own practices, by all that you do as to your knowledge and understanding. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, lest you be born again, you shall not even see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. So no matter how much I fast, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I study, no matter how much good alms deeds I do, no matter how much I go to church or whatever I might be obtaining life, it can never give me Christianity as to eternal life. I can't even see the kingdom of God with all my understanding, with all of my knowledge, with all of these things that I do. I cannot see the kingdom of God. So I must be born again. I must be born again. I cannot be born again until I die out to begin with to the first birth. As long as I am alive in the first birth, I cannot be born again. I must first die with the body of Jesus, as to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, and then through a new birth, alive by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, being delivered from my offenses and raised again for my justification, I find then that I'm not the old person that I was as to the first birth, but I am the new person as to the new birth, as to being born again. I'm no longer the sinner that I was when I was born of my dad, but I am now a Christian in that I've been born of my heavenly Father. I'm no longer in the world that I was in when I was born into the natural world as into the flesh by my earthly dad, but I am now born into the heavenly world by the seed of God through a divine conception of Christ into the wonderful world of God. And I am no longer in the flesh. I'm no longer in the world. I am no longer a sinner. I am a Christian. I am a son of God. I have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. I claim this. I believe this. I practice this. I preach this. I tell this wherever I go. I pass from death unto life. I'm no longer in bondage to the earthly bondage of the intellectual reasoning. I'm not a bonds child. When you're born into this world, you have the intellectual side of life and you are a bonds child. And you are in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. And no matter what you do, you'll always crave the things of the flesh. Jesus said, "Thou desirest the things that be of the flesh. Satan, get thee behind me, because thou art an offense unto me." So then, if you are a bondage child, then are you in bondage to your face? You're in bondage to your body. You are in bondage to your appetite. You're in bondage to your passions. You are in bondage and enslaved to the things of this world. You are subject to vanity and subjected to vanity as to being in bondage to the creature, which is the outer man. The Bible said, "Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. That I should mortify the deeds of the body, I should put the outer man down. I should mortify the deeds of this outer man, crucify the outer man, and live in the inner man. I should renew the inner man. I should set my affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal. And I should lay up treasures in heaven, because wherever my treasures are, that's where my heart will be. And so then I should labor for the meat that doesn't perish." Jesus said on one occasion, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." They wanted to know if he had eaten. He said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so then, as I preached this morning, as he hung at Calvary, he said, "Father, it is finished. I have finished the work that thou gavest to me to do." All right, so then we see that upon this rock, the faith of Christ, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but didn't try to make of himself a reputation or go about to establish anything in the world. He just wanted to be pleasing to the heavenly Father." And the Bible said that he did always the things that pleased the heavenly Father. Always. And the Bible said Enoch, before his translation, had this testimony, that he pleased God. Whereas the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is," or that he exists, "and must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If I'm going to get anything from God, I first must believe there is a God. And secondarily, I must believe that if I diligently seek God as to fast and pray or follow after God and try to conform to the ways of God, that God is going to reward me, that he's going to consider me. If I cannot believe that God will bless me in that I am laboring for his cause, then there's no need of me trying to do anything. See, works without faith is dead. I can work all I want to in trying to do something for God or helping the poor or whatever it might be. But if I don't believe that God is going to reward me for it, it doesn't profit me at all. It doesn't profit me at all. So then I must believe that he is a rewarder of me, because I diligently give myself unto him, and because I have sought him. It would be a bad situation to go out here and work for a man, to hire out to a man on a job with no confidence that that man was going to pay you at the end of the week. I wouldn't want to work for a fella unless I really had enough confidence believing that he was going to pay me when the end of the week come. So then, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to do the things that please God, we must confident ourselves in this, that because we do the things that please him, that God is happy over that situation, and God is going to greatly reward us and abundantly bless us for every effort of life because we are doing the things that please him. So that upon this rock I build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I brought a little bit out on this not too long ago as to point out something like this. Don't it give you a great consolation? Knowing the fury of hell and knowing the terror of hell and knowing the terror of demon oppression, the powers of Lucifer, don't it give you a great consolation to know that even the powers of hell can't prevail against your prayer and against your faith? See, he said, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory might come in. He speaks of the gates of hell, of being them that are without, as to those that are in the world. For out of those gates as the mouth is open and the way of life is presented, comes the demon powers of evil. But out of you comes forth the words of God, for it's not you that speak. From out of your innermost being, as the kingdom of heaven, which is within you, utters forth the words of gladness and of faith. So then out of you comes forth the words of consolation. See, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. No matter how hell rages, no matter what the furies of hell is, it cannot overthrow a Christian. It cannot defeat a Christian. You are forever secure. You have an eternal security in God, and there is no demon power that can overthrow you. There is no power that can bring you into poverty, into sickness, or into eternal doom of damnation. There is no power that can do that. And the Bible said, and there is no weapon that is formed that shall prosper against thee. Everything that riseth against thee, he said, in the day of the judgment, I will condemn it. He said, for no man can lay anything to your charge, because you are God's elect. For I have justified you. And there is not anything that can be laid to the charge of God's elect. You're without spot, you're without wrinkle, you're without blemish, and there is not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish to you. And when the Lord of heaven comes back, as the songwriter said, he's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. So, we are a secure people. We have the wonderful security in realizing that we are the body of Christ as of now. And the body as to what we formerly have been, it's dead and it's gone. The body of sin is gone. The man or woman as to what you had been born to be in this world from your first birth is now over and gone. And now you are born again into the likeness and the wonderful image, the Bible tells us, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's not you living, but it's Christ living within you. And even the life that you now live is the eternal life that you live by the Son of God. In that you lost your life, in that you lost your life through sin, now you have eternal life. And the life you now live is an eternal life that you live by the Son of God. So then we cannot sin against God. There's no way that we can sin against God. We are eternally secure. We are eternally saved. We are eternally set apart. And when trouble comes around and we start having problems, when sicknesses begin to prevail, poverties begin to prevail, and all these things begin to come down upon us, is for one reason, and that is because we have become weak in faith. We should never be weak in faith. We ought to always pray. The Bible said, pray Pray without ceasing. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. We should never stop praying. Pray and don't faint. The Bible said, for if you pray and don't faint, in due season you shall reap. So then, we should never grow weary in well-doing. We should never stop praying and meditating in the laws of God. And when we have trouble, then it is because our faith is weak. When Jesus said, ye of little faith, it indicates that your faith is weak. If you faint in the day of adversity, it's because your faith is small. Or that it means that your faith is weak. That's why the Bible said to faint in the day of adversity means that your strength is small. You have grown weak. But the Bible says, let him that is weak say that I am strong, and be strong in the power of my might. Or that is, if I feel a weakness towards Satan, or if I feel that I'm giving away before the impacts of Lucifer, I should take the word of God and read it over and over and confess the word. Put it before my eyes and say, Lord, I'm strong in you. I am no more what I was. I'm the body of Almighty God, members in particular, flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. And Satan hath no power over me. I pass from death unto life. And Father, I'm alive forevermore. And because I am what I am in you, then Satan hath no power over me. So I'm not going to weaken down in my unbelief and turn to him to believe him into power in my life, that he might torment me and cause fear in my life or create problems in my life. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm set apart, I'm not part of his kingdom, I'm not part of his world, and he can't get to me unless I invite him in through my unbelief. Unless I put myself out there to him and confess my weakness and give him power over me, he cannot do anything to me, so I'm not going to do that. It's absurd for me to do that. You know, if a man's got $1 million and poverty tries to set in, or if he goes to getting hungry, it is absurd for him to let $1 million lay up in the bank and not use some of it to get some food with. It's absurd for him to sit there and tell himself that he doesn't have any money or he cannot help himself. When he has that, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, the way I see this thing is that if I confess that I don't have it, then I don't have it. That's not right. Only in this sense, if you confess you don't have it, you don't have it to the extent that you don't go get it. You know, if I have $1 million and Brother Taylor has given me $1 million for my security and he's put it in the bank, and I say, well, the way I see it, Brother Taylor, if I confess that I have it, I have it. If I don't confess that I have it, then I don't have it. Brother Taylor would say, well, that's true, Brother Pike. You know, if you don't confess that you do have it to the extent that you'll get up and go get it, you don't have it because it'll never do you any good. But Brother Pike, let's be reasonable. Whether you confess it or don't confess it, I still give it to you. It's still up there. It's just your state of ignorance and your state of unbelief that's got you into this condition that you don't go use it. But you know, the devil likes to tell us that because we don't believe it, it never was given to us. And it's because we believe it that that's what made it be given to us. See, but we get it all mixed up. These things was given us in God before the world ever was, and without respect to person, God has abundantly poured out of his Spirit upon us. And God has appropriated for you and I all of his wonderful goodness. And today we pass from death unto life, and we don't have to worry about those things because we are God's elect. And the only way that the devil can cause us trouble is for us to submit ourselves unto him instead of submitting ourselves unto God by believing in Christ his strength. And the only way that the devil can come in and cause you sickness, cause you poverty, or cause you the problems as to demon oppression and fears and frustration and anxieties of life or poverties of life is simply because you are weak in your believing toward God. If you faint in the day of adversity, then is your strength small. So, O ye of little faith, why should my strength be small? If God is my strength and the joy of the Lord is my strength, why not kindle the joy of the Lord in my heart? Why not pray, O Lord, give me my joy, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Why not rehearse this in my mind as to what he hath done for me, saying, God, you said that you've given me all things that pertain unto life. Have you lied to me, Lord? Have you lied to me? Did you actually tell me that you've given me all things on that pertain unto life when you know that you did not give them unto me? And did you not say unto me that you've given me great and precious promises? Lord, did you lie to me? Can you lie to me when you're the Spirit of Truth? Can the Spirit of Truth lie? Lord, have you misled me? Or did you actually give me great and mighty promises? Oh, as to the benefit of these things that I have, just because I believe what you said, in that you've already given them to me, and I fail to enjoy them or have the benefits of them because I just don't step out by faith and take these things. A lot of times I use this term of speech, that all these things come upon us because we serve not the Lord our God with joyfulness of heart for the abundance of all things. That is, we don't thank him for the abundance of all things, or accept by faith that we have the abundance of all things, or say, Lord, I thank you for the flowers all along the way. Thank you for the sunshine you give me every day. I remember when I was in that entombment and I came out of there singing and God gave me that song. Brother Taylor sings it so often. See, I thank you for the sunshine and I thank you for the rain. Glory, hallelujah, I'll sing praises to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So then I'm thanking the Lord. I say, now Lord, I don't have to wonder if you have given me these things. I look up and there is the sunshine. I look around and there is the rain. And you've not left me without witness. There is the fruited trees that I see. There is the goodness of God everywhere. I take in the breeze into my lungs. Here is my eyes and my ears and my hand. Here is my wife and my children. Here are my friends and my neighbors. Here is everything that pertains unto life, Father, in this world and in the world to come. Godliness profitable for this life and the world to come. And I say, Lord, what should I do? Should I go around cast down? Should I go around sad? Should I go around in fear? Should I be then of a doubtful mind? Jesus said, don't be of a doubtful mind. Or should I be thanking you and praising you continually for the abundance of all things, accepting all things by faith, that they all belong to me, and because they belong to me, I'm going to rejoice in them and enjoy them. Because the more I rejoice, the more I believe, the more I enjoy these things. You know, this was the thing that excited God about Abraham. The Bible said when God gave Abraham a promise, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He just went around praising God. God said, Abraham, and it shall be thus and thus. And Abraham just went around as if to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, he went around saying to everybody, God said he's going to bless me. He's going to bless me. It'll be here. It'll be so wonderful. Isn't it going to be exciting? It's coming. It's coming. He said it was going to be here. I can't hardly wait. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that was Abraham's outlook. But God can tell us something to say. Brother Taylor, did you know God said he's going to bless me? Boy, I sure hope this thing comes to pass. Brother Taylor, you pray with me. Oh my God, don't let it fail. You know what I'm saying? And we'll read it, you know, and about, we'll go 2 or 3 days and we're about half in and half out. And then we'll catch ourselves and say, no, God can't lie. You know, in about 20 minutes we go that way and then we drift back off out here. You know, we're back in the rut again. And then after about 2 weeks and it don't happen, we say, my God, I've been believing all this time. Lord, what's wrong with you? Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. See what it is? We get in a rut. But Abraham was strong in faith. We need to give glory to God for the abundance of all things. God has already given us all things that pertain unto life. What do you need? Make your petition known. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive the help you need in the time of need. See, come boldly before the throne of grace, because God has made you righteous by His righteousness. See, here's the thing. If I started in the Spirit, Paul said, are you so foolish, thinking now that you've been made perfect in the flesh? That is to say, if God came to me while I was yet a sinner and died for me while I was yet a sinner, as to coming down in a human body and tasting death for every man. See, if God did this in the form of a human being to come to me while I were yet in my sins, then now that God has come to me while I was in my sins, when I could not help myself, and God has taken the blood out of His veins to give me the best that heaven could afford, would God not now give me everything else that He has? Having given me the best when I offered Him not anything, and having given me the best when I was in my worst condition, now that I'm in a better condition, would God not give me the less? As to that that would follow the best, to see that I had my heart's desire, wouldn't God give to me that which would be less than that which was in the first, which was the best? So then God so loved me while I was yet in my sins that He gave Jesus to die for me. And now that I am a Christian and I'm trying to serve God, would God not bless me now? So then it's not a matter of how righteous I am, it's a matter of how righteous He is. It's not a matter of how much I love, it's a matter of how much He loved. And God is with me every day. God is with me. So I abundantly receive life. For Jesus is the Prince of Life. He said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And so then we see that the abundance of life is given to us. Not just life, but life filled up and overflowing. Not just life in this present world, but life in the world to come. I have an abundance of living, an abundance of life. I have filled up an overflowing life, life eternal, life in this present world, and then life in the world to come. I have the life of God, not just life of man, but I have the life of God. God has given me His own life. And so then I have life filled up and life abundantly overflowing. So then I sing the wonderful praises of God. I go around through the day and I find myself praising the Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm thankful that you've blessed me. Though the devil tries to work against me, though the devil tries to afflict me, though the devil tries to suppress me, though he tries to do all those things, yet I know that he's a liar. I know. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it's such a struggle to get these blessings. I know it is. But it's not such a struggle to get God to give them to you. It's not such a struggle to get God to hear you, in the sense that God heard you before the world ever was in Christ Jesus. But it's a struggle to get God to hear you in that you are in a condition of unbelief. And it's a struggle to get God to hear you and grant these things to you, because we are so weak. Jesus said the flesh is weak. We don't realize how weak we are in faith. You know, we think, Lord God, we tried so hard. We've been so many days, and yet we're so very, very, very weak in faith. And we don't realize how weak that we are in faith, and how abundant these things are that He's given to us, and how easy they are to have, and how close they are at hand, and how plentiful they are, and how that they are abundantly poured out upon us because of the weakness of our faith. But as Father Abraham, let's be strong in faith. Let's pray to God. Let's pray. Somebody said, well, I just can't make myself get down and pray. Well, you need to get down and pray. You need to get down on your knees and pray sometimes. You know, you need to pray in the nighttime. You need to pray in the daytime. You need to pray always. But the main thing is, whether you get down or whether you don't, you should meditate in the laws of God day and night. You should pray without ceasing. You should pray in your heart, pray in your mind, always talking to God, making melody in your heart to God, thanking God for His blessings. You know, not always saying, oh my God, help me. Oh my God, help me. I do that. You do that. We all do that when we feel the pressures of evil. But what we need to do, if we ask God for something, we need to believe it. You know, we need to believe it. The Bible said if you desire anything, when you pray, that is when you ask for it. When you pray, then believe that you receive it, and then you shall have it. If you're going to pray, that is ask for it, then believe that you receive it. See, if you're going to ask God for it, what's the need to ask Him for it if you're not going to believe that He's going to give it to you? See, you've got to believe that He heard you and believe that He's going to give it to you. Believe that He heard you because of the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, because of His love for you, that He loved you so much He gave His Son to die for you while were you in your sins, and that because of this, that He heard you. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, didn't you say that we got to do all of these works and all of these things so that we can assure our heart and get confidence so that we can believe in God? I sure did. But I didn't say a thing about doing all these works so that we would be in good condition so that He would listen to us. I didn't say anything about doing these works that it would make us any better than what we are in the sight of God or make us good to the point that He would hear us. I didn't say anything about that. That's a misinterpretation of the Scriptures, and that's a devilish thing that Satan puts in your mind to keep you from understanding what God is trying to tell you. Well, the Bible said it's not the minister that speaks. They shall all be taught of God. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we do these things to assure our heart that we might have confidence in God, that God heareth us. That is, we're just doing something to add strength to our believing. All I'm doing is trying to add strength to my believing. I'm not trying to get righteous. I'm not trying to get holy. I'm not trying to get good or get in shape to where God will hear me or be better than I was day before yesterday. I'm not trying to do that. I'm righteous in Christ. For the Bible said God has sanctified me once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, and them that He has sanctified, He has perfected forever, or made perfect forever. And nobody can lay anything to my charge. But I'm trying to add strength to my believing. My believing is so weak. My confidence is so weak in the promises of God, of what He said to me in giving me all things, that I'm trying my best to pull myself away from that old mind of unbelief and that old mind of satanic wondering and bewilderment that's always putting God down and accusing me and putting me down in the mind of God. He puts me down in the eyes of God to make me look bad and feel under condemnation, when the Bible said there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Of course, somebody, you know, Satan comes along and he starts indoctrinating you again. You know, that is to say, someone would say, well, there you are, right there, Brother Pike. That is, if you don't walk after the flesh. See, it's so close, it would deceive the very elect if possible. Sure, that's right, but that's why it's a revelation. See, they that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Somebody says, well, that's the answer right there. Brother Pike, if you're going to walk after the flesh out there, you know that God isn't going to hear you. That's true. That's true. If I walk after the flesh, I can't expect God to hear me. You can't expect God to hear you. Somebody says, well, that's where the problem is. I know I love God. I know I've been born again. But here it is, I just can't keep from walking after the flesh. See, that's where you're deceived. That's where you're deceived. A man that's born again don't walk after the flesh. A man that's born again or a woman that's born again can't walk after the flesh. A man that's been born of God, a woman that's been born of God, they're not even in the flesh. They're not even in the world. How could they walk after the flesh? So you get a misinterpretation and the devil puts you on the run again, and he's right behind you again indoctrinating you, and you indoctrinating everybody else, and the whole thing is topsy-turvy and everything is out of kilter. So then what am I saying? We're not in the flesh. Somebody says, well, I'm telling you, I'm born again, but Brother Pike, I keep running after the flesh. If you're running after the flesh, how could you be perfect? The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. If you've been born again, you've been perfected forever. You've been sanctified. How could you be whoring after the flesh? If you was whoring after the flesh, you'd be imperfect. How could you then be born again? So, see, you frustrate the grace of God. Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. I've been born again. We sang that song, born again. Free from sin. Sometimes my wife and I, we'd be riding along, we sing this song, I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, oh, there's no doubt, I know that I've been born again. Do you know that you've been born again? I've been born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, there's no doubt. I know that I've been born again. The Bible said we know that we pass from death into life. All right, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I'm just exhorting you a little bit tonight. Not trying to take too long. But I want you to understand that we are doing these things to add strength unto our believing, that we might just wrestle our minds out of the accusations of the devil, as he being the accuser of the brethren, to accuse me to God and then accuse God to me. Brother Dale, you know what I'm saying. You're a preacher. This never stops. There is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. It never stops. The devil will bring every dirty, every filthy, every ungodly thought that he can bring to your mind about your brothers and sisters, about even God himself, about everything that's pure and virtuous. But you don't have to listen to that garbage. You know, because the man passes your home and he's got his garbage bag in the back of his car, you don't let him stop and throw it in your front yard. Wouldn't you chide with him if he pulled up out there and he started emptying his smelly garbage out in your yard? Wouldn't you say something to him about it? If you didn't see him the first time, it's for sure you'd catch him the second time. You understand what I'm saying? So just because the devil comes around knowing that he's headed for the garbage dump with his load, I don't want him to empty it in my ears. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these things. Anything to be lovely, anything to be pure, think about these things. God dwells in virtue. All right. So then, we are praying to God. We are fasting before God. We're trying to live holy. We're trying to conform to the way of God. We're trying to do the things of God. And the preacher's trying to perfect our faith, to tell us about the things of God. For one simple reason, and that is so we'll hear, we'll believe, we'll know, we'll have confidence in God. That we're trying to please God. And then we'll persuade our heart to have confidence that God really will listen at us because we're trying to do what's right. This is the proof of our new birth, that we're trying to do what's right. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, one of the good proofs of an old sow is that she stays sloppy and messy and smelly. That's one of the best proofs I know of that she's an old sow. And one of the best proofs I know of that a dog is a dog, if you'll stand around him a little while, he'll eat dung and he'll lap his vomit. And when he gets close to you with a like that, you can smell his breath. That's one of the best proofs I know of that he's an old dog. Isn't that right? The things that he does, the places he goes, the way he acts. See, the child is known by his doings. The mere fact that you are turning to God, trying to please God, going to the places that are virtuous and acting like Christ Jesus, that's the best proof that there is, that the nature of Christ is on the inside of you, and the negligence toward this or the unconcern toward the things of God, or inasmuch as you have no concern about holy things or God and just are interested in the things of the world, that's the best proof I know of. That you belong to the world and that you have the love of the world and the concern of the world. So then we do all of these things, as I said, we do all of these things to convince our heart that we may have confidence. And when we have this confidence, we think, Lord, we love you. We try to please you. That proves that I love you and I know that you love me by what you've done through Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I don't have to ask you for these things. You've freely given me all things through Christ Jesus. You said that through the Word. You said that before the world ever was, you gave me these things in Christ and brought them to light at Calvary, substantiated them by the giving of your own blood. All I've got to do, Lord, is believe you and thank you for the abundance of all things to get my heart to that stage of confidence that these things are all mine. These things are all mine. I thank you for the flowers. I thank you for the sunshine. I thank you for the rain. I thank you for everything, Lord. I thank you for my health. If I thank him for the sunshine because he gave that to me, why can't I thank him for the health? He gave that to me. Somebody said, well, I'm not healthy. Why do you say that? Somebody said, well, I feel bad. Well, what are you going to do about the sunshine? Sometimes the sunshine's not up there. It's a cloudy day. And you can't see the sunshine. You're not going to thank him for the sunshine? You mean there's no more sunshine? The sun will never shine anymore? What? Somebody said, well, the sunshine certainly isn't shining. Well, does that mean there's not a sunshine anymore? Does that mean the sun isn't around anymore? Of course it's around. But the clouds of doubt is where the problem is. See, when the clouds are dispelled, then comes the sunshine. And when your clouds of doubt are gone, then comes the light of that glory of the fulfillment of the wonderful promise of God to get rid of the unbelief, and then comes the help. So what do? Pray the clouds away. Pray the clouds away. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is true, folks. We already have passed from death unto life. We already have all things that pertain unto life. We already are dead as to the old man that was born of Adam. Already are alive to the new man that was resurrected from the grave. And today it's not you living but Christ, the healthy Christ. When you think of yourself, think of Christ Jesus, who was the healthy one that went about doing good, preaching and healing all. See, think about the Christ Jesus that conquered sin, the Christ Jesus that conquered Satan, the Christ Jesus that's alive forevermore, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For greater is he that is within you than Satan that is in the world, even Christ within you, that hope of glory. Think about that, because that's what you are. That's not what you're trying to make yourself believe. That's what you are. And that the world that you are in, and Satan is just trying to harass you with the continual warfare of the body when the body is dead and God doesn't hear it and God doesn't want it. Why should you listen at it? If God doesn't listen at it, as I preached before, why should you listen at it? If he isn't going to listen at the condemnation and the accusation, most assuredly you should not listen at it. All right, so then, being filled with the Spirit, we should go on day after day. And if we tarry from day to day till we're filled with the Spirit, we'll have a shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and we won't have any problems, folks. But when we grow weak, in that we don't stay full of the Spirit, our faith kind of takes a nosedive, and we find ourselves very, very weak, and our shield of faith goes down on us, and the darkness begins to close in because the candlelight gets dimmer and dimmer and the smut begins to get on the globe. All right, let's rise up and trim our wicks, get ready for the midnight cry, and make sure that the Spirit or the oil is in our lamp. The foolish virgins, that indicates that there's going to be a lot of religious people. And the Spirit having been poured out upon all flesh, right now you can't tell the difference. But at the midnight cry, when the darkness come in, that is to say, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, the light will be gone. And there won't be any light from God. And if you don't have light on the inside, you'll be in the darkness at the midnight cry, because you don't have any oil. But at that midnight cry, when grace is gone, if you are the light of the world, Jesus said, just trim your wicks. Light your candle, because darkness is beginning to set in. What kind of darkness? Intellectual darkness is beginning to set in. What kind of light do we need? Light the mind of Christ, which is your faith. Light that candle, for the Spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Strengthen that that remains, lest your candlestick be removed. So then the foolish virgins are going to find themselves in that intellectual darkness, for the beast's kingdom shall be full of darkness, and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. But beloved friend, it's not so with you and I. We have a candlelight, and we're lighting our candles, and we're getting ready, because we've got oil in our lamps. We've got the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Always stay full of the Spirit. Don't just be religious. Be full of the Spirit. All right, let's stand together. even the faith of Christ Jesus. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Day after day, night after night, year after year, we remind you, and yet not I, but Christ remindeth you, to be ready, because there's coming a time when you must be ready. The night's getting darker. The Middle East crisis are telling us that the end is at hand. And the Lord is letting us know that it's time to trim your wicks. Trim your wicks. Sharpen up your faith. Fill your spirit with the Spirit of God. Be full of the Spirit. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing with me. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Sing it with me now. Be ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom? Be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Midnight hour is falling upon us, and the darkness is coming. How can you tell? Because the darkness that he spoke of is intellectual darkness. And everywhere the intellect is overriding the spiritual desire of mankind. It's ball games and it's frolics and it's eating and drinking and social parties and governments and natural benefits and everything that pertains to the flesh. All man can do is think about passions and human desires, careers. He wants something of the flesh, always something of the flesh, money. He's looking for securities of life and confidence and conveniences. See, that's darkness. Gross darkness, intellectual darkness. Gross darkness means there's heapings upon them. It'll cover the people. Everywhere it'll be. And the light of the children of God, that light will be going out. They'll be raptured out of here. The light of the world will be gone. And when they're gone, then the darkness is here. So then the darkness is coming as to the beast, as to their kingdom. Because the only light they have now is the children of God. We're the only light they've got. For you're the light of the world. And when you go out, then the darkness is automatically here. So the light is getting ready to go out now. God is getting ready to take his children out. All right, let's sing the little chorus together. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die on the tree. He gave his son cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river by. Shall see his sweet face. With him, I'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvel. Sing it again. Thank God. there's a bridge o'er the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him, I'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Sing it again. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his mark. Can you sing one more time? I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with its pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord. One more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. You love the Lord? How wonderful it is to know that we've been born again. Can we sing that little chorus, Brother Taylor? I'm born again. I'm free from sin. Oh, I'm happy,
rejoicing night and day.
Oh, it makes me shout, and there's no doubt, for I know
I'm born again.
Can you sing it? We've been born again, free from sin. I'm happy,
I'm rejoicing
night and day. Makes me shout, there's no doubt, for I know I've been born.
Can you sing it again?
I've been born again, free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day. And it makes me shout, oh, there's no doubt, for I know I.
Can you sing that with me if you've really been born again?
We've been born again, and we're free from sin, and we're happy night and day. And it makes us shout, oh, that no doubt, oh, we know we've been born. One more time. We've been born again, and we're free from sin.
flow with happy night and day. And it makes a shout, oh, there's no doubt. Oh, we know we've been just one more time together. For I'm born again, and I'm free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. For it makes me shout, oh, there's no doubt, for I know I've been born. Can you sing it one more time? I've been born again, free from sin. I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout. There's no doubt, I know who I've been. One more time. For I'm born again, free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout. Oh, there's no doubt, I can tell you I've been. Can you sing it one more time? You really believe you've been born again? Born. I'm free. Do you feel like you're really free from sin? I'm happy now. Are you really happy? For it makes me shout, and there's no doubt, I can tell that I. Sing it one more time now. If you're really happy, sing it with me. So I'm born again, and I'm free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout. For there's no doubt, I can tell that I've been born. One more time. Oh, I'm born
again,
and I'm free from sin. I'm happy night, and it makes me shout. Oh, there is no doubt. Yes, I know that I've been born. Can you sing one more time? Oh, I'm born again, free from sin. Oh, friend, there's no doubt, I can tell that I've been born again. Just one more time. Oh, I'm born again, free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, there is no doubt. I know that I've been born again. Let's give him a hand. I can tell that I've been born again. I believe you really do believe that you've been born again. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel the Holy Ghost? You feel the Holy Ghost down on the inside because you know that you've been born again. So wonderful to know that we are born again. And that's why we sing that little song, Bringing the Sheaves, is because that's our job if we've been born again. Let's sing it together. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, ringing in the sheaves. That's our job if we're
born again to go out into the fields to labor, to bring in the sheaves. Love the Lord. Right, let's sing this little chorus. We love the Lord. I like this song. I sing this a lot.
Sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day, His love to me grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, my love grows sweeter each day.
Sing it with me.
Sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day, His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter.
One more time.
He's sweeter each day, sweeter each day. Jesus is sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I stop, friend, to say, my Savior grows sweeter each day.
One more time.
He's sweeter each day, my Savior grows sweeter life's way. All through the garden I can hear Him say, this love grows sweeter each day.
Let's sing this little chorus.
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Let us to Him glory all ye people, for the blood that washed away every stain.
Can you lift your hands and close your eyes?
And I will praise Thee. Praise Thee, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Thee glory, precious Master, for Your blood has washed away all my stains.
One more time.
Let us praise Him. I praise him. Praise that Lamb for sinners.
But ask Brother Morris Allen if he'll come and dismiss us.
And I give.
Can you sing it again?